Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. This is the Patrick Madrid Show, and you're welcome. This is not Patrick Madrid. This is Ken Hensley filling in for Patrick once again. Patrick is off, no doubt wrapping gift presents for his 75 grandchildren or something like that. Anyway, good morning. Good to have you. The number here, if you'd like to be on the show, of course, is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I want to start out by thanking some of you that have written such kind comments, emails into Relevant Radio, commenting on the two times so far. This is my third time covering for Patrick. It's very encouraging to hear that you like the show or that you enjoyed the things that I had to say. So I really appreciate that. And I want to say,
you begin a lot.
By the way, Cyrus, I just want to ask you a question. That music, that bumper music?
Yes, sir.
Would that be categorized as German polka? It sounds like polka to me. Would it be?
I think this is German polka.
Yeah, that's polka, but you know they sound very similar to me. Maybe it's
How dare you?
You know, I think if I ever had a radio show, I'd want to have this kind of music. It's uplifting, you know, bring the Germans on board, whatnot. Anyway, okay, listen, you can fade the music down. Thank you, Cyrus. As I mentioned, this is the third time that I've covered for Patrick on his show, and I have to tell you, it's an interesting experience. Now, I have preached a million times. I was a pastor for 11 years, and I've been a Catholic now for 25 years after leaving the Protestant ministry to become Catholic. And I've taught a million times. I've spoken at conferences and all that. But my experience has been that when I am speaking, I can see the whites of the eyes of those to whom I'm speaking. You know, and the basic blessing of that is you can tell when you're boring people to death. This thing with radio is really kind of new, and it's a new experience for me to sit here and speak into a microphone and really have no clue as to whether one or two or a million or no one is listening. And as I've described it to you, Cyrus, I know already, it's a bit like going up in an airplane and, you know, when I hear the bumper music and then I hear you come in, Cyrus, and say, your mic's hot, you know, basically go ahead and talk. It's like you're up in the airplane and someone throws open the side door and then they say, okay, go. It's time. Jump. So anyway, all that to say, I really appreciate those of you that are listening. I think everyone should have the experience of doing a radio show, a three-hour radio show like this. I don't really recommend it, but I still think it'd be great if all of you had that experience, and then you would have a real intense sense of what this is like. But anyway, I'm staring at my computer screen right now, and I'm talking into a microphone, and I'm welcoming you to the Patrick Madrid Show. This is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 if you'd like to be on the show today. And I want to begin by reading something that I ran into a couple of weeks ago when I, when it was announced that the world population was exceeding 8 billion people. This is something that I ran into. The title was Priest's Perfect Response for When You're Criticized for Having Lots of Kids. Father David Michael Moses has a thoughtful reflection on the benefits of having large families. And I'll read this to you and then some comments. This week, the United Nations announced that the world has reached a population of 8 billion people, a staggering number that has made some question the size of their family or their desire to have children at all. In fact, if you look over the last few decades, the number of large families has been steadily decreasing. So much so that if you have three children in France and Spain, you're considered to have a large family. Three children. As one of nine children, this has always made me chuckle, writes Father David Michael Moses. So with large families considering a bit of a no-no these days, those with more than a couple of kids are often faced with criticism. Thankfully, Father David Michael Moses came up with the perfect response on social media for what to say to someone who questions your family choices. And here's what he, this is how he responds. It's simple. What does the world need the most right now? I think it's pretty clear. We need good people, holy people, people of integrity and high moral character, people who are joyful and hopeful and courageous. And we don't just need a few of these people, we need a lot of them. So have a bunch of kids and raise them to be good and holy and joyful and courageous people who will one day become the husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, priests, and sisters that our world so desperately needs. Have a bunch of kids and raise them to be good, and you'll have made the world a better place. Father Michael's response is an acknowledgement that if parents raise a family in faith, large or small, these children can be leaven in the dough, making the world a much better place. This is something echoed by Pope Francis, who shared in 2015, I'm quoting Pope Francis, "Healthy families are essential to society. It provides us with consolation and hope to see so many large families who welcome children as a gift from God. They know that every child is a blessing." That's the end of the article. Now, as I've mentioned previously, I work for a Catholic apostolate called the Coming Home Network. chnetwork.org is the website. I'm the director of pastoral care for the Coming Home Network. And what that means is that I work primarily with Protestant pastors who find themselves on a journey toward the Catholic Church and contact the Coming Home Network. I reach out to them. I begin to work with them in the sense of providing resources to them, possibly asking their, trying as best I can to answer questions that they have, to befriend them and to help them make what is most often a very difficult journey. Because as you can imagine, a man or a woman, I have a couple of females as well that I'm working with in this way who are ordained clergy. But as you can imagine, someone decides early on in life that they believe that they're called to the ministry. They go to seminary where they take a master's degree in theology or a master of divinity, some degree like that. They are ordained into pastoral work, and they might be a pastor for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. I was an ordained Baptist pastor for 11 years before I became Catholic, which means that I was 42 years old when I finally felt required to resign my ministry and walk out of the ministry so that I could become Catholic, which means that at 42 years of age, I had to figure out a way to reinvent myself from scratch. All that I had done is studied the Bible and theology. That was my interest. I had been a pastor for 11 years, so all that I did really was preach and teach and counsel and help people try to help people advance in their spiritual lives and their walk with Christ. And at 42 years of age, I walked out and put on my cheap suit, and here I was walking up and down the road with resumes in my hand, trying to find a job. Now, so most all of the men that I deal with face situations like that. And there are many more obstacles. Their spouse may be completely opposed to what they're doing. I speak with men all the time who tell me that they can't even have a conversation with their wives about the fact that they've begun to read Catholic theology or Catholic apologetics and that they're being drawn toward the Catholic Church. Many of them face a situation where the wife is simply looking at them and saying, "You're insane. I have no interest in becoming Catholic." So for some of them, it's so bad that what their wives are saying is, "If you become Catholic, I will divorce you." I know you've heard that that was the case with Scott Hahn, where Kimberly, at least for a time, was thinking that maybe that would be the route she'd have to take, would be a divorce. So these pastors need a lot of encouragement. They're facing the troubling prospect of having to completely reinvent themselves to figure out a new way to earn a living in midlife. to redefine themselves. If their identity has been being a pastor, now they have to figure out who they are if they leave the ministry. And many of them have families that completely oppose them. I have one Baptist pastor who I remember him saying to me, he said, "Ken, you don't understand. My dad is a Baptist pastor. I'm a Baptist pastor. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor. Both of my uncles on my dad's side are Baptist pastors. Everyone in my family is a Baptist." And many of them believe that joining the Catholic Church is like making the decision to depart from Christ entirely. So it's a tough situation. And one of the things that I do, you're wondering, how does this tie in with large families? Well, one of the things that I do in my attempt to encourage these men is I talk about the large family that my daughter has now. Because when Tina and I became Catholic, all I could see looking forward were the difficulties. I was like the pastors I deal with now. All I could see was the difficulties ahead. I never even thought beyond that, it was very hard to do it. For instance, I never dreamed that 6 years after Tina and I became Catholic, that our daughter Blythe would become Catholic. She met a young man, and the two of them were evangelical Protestants, and the two of them became Catholic together. And being converts, you know, when they became Catholic, they gave themselves entirely to the teaching of the Catholic Church, and they are open to life. And now I have 11 grandchildren that live about 5 minutes from Tina and myself. So very involved in their lives. And what I will often say to these men who are really struggling is, look, all you can see is the difficulties now, but I guarantee you, you have no idea of the good that can come on the other side. For instance, I had no idea. I had never even dreamed about grandchildren, really. I certainly had no idea that my daughter might become Catholic, marry a young man, become Catholic together, and have 11 grandchildren. And so, and then I will say something like this, which I think is true. I have 11 grandchildren now that in all probability would not exist if we hadn't become Catholic. Because the way things are done in your modern, you know, evangelical Protestantism in Southern California, is maybe especially where I live, is that people do like everyone does. You think of one child, two, maybe three. And, you know, you just don't typically have large families, although there are some that do, definitely some. But so I have all these kids crawling up and down my back every day of my life, and I totally love it. In fact, if I wasn't on radio right now, I'd be pulling out the photos, and I'd be showing you my 11 children, grandchildren from 15 years old, almost 16 at the top, all the way down to 7 months, identical twin girls who are 7 months old. So having a large family and watching it, I can see firsthand what an incredible blessing this is. So what I did was I decided after reading this and reading this response that Father David Michael Moses gives was to ask some friends the question, that is some friends of ours that have large families. And I asked them the question, how do you respond when, you know, when you run into a situation, you're going into the store and you got seven kids with you and maybe pregnant at the same time, and someone makes a comment about your family or lifts up the eyebrow or something like that.
Are all those yours?
Yeah, something like that, right. How do you respond? And I've gotten a few responses. I texted this out to some friends. I want to read them to you. But what I want to ask you in the background is, those of you that have large families, how do you respond? How do you respond? Have you developed a kind of a way of responding when someone says, like you just said, Cyrus, are all those yours? Here's how a friend Wes responded to me. He said, I usually try to make it a joke. I make it lighthearted. I say something like, well, our rice patties aren't going to farm themselves. Or maybe even better, yeah, and we're actually recruiting if you'd like to join. So this is how Wes handles it, you know, just kind of break the ice by making light of it. And that's probably a good idea, because then maybe a conversation could begin from there. But here's what another friend said when challenged to show a person what he does when someone makes a comment is he says he shows them a photo of his family and he says, so which one would you want me to get rid of? Here's another. I texted a friend a couple Rich and Christina. And Christina said, I told Rich to make it nice because his, or to make it nicer because his original answer was, mind your own business. That's how he responded. And then she said, I guess I say something like, yes, I love babies so much. If I'm feeling snarky, I say, yes, raising them right so that we can eventually take our country back. The other side is killing babies, but we are having them. And then she says, I actually said that at a meet and greet. But if I'm feeling more spiritual, I might say, isn't it so great to bring an immortal soul into this world who will outlive the entire universe?
Like that one, Ken. Which
one?
Showing the photo and saying, which one of these, don't I want? There's a lot to unpack in that statement. How did it go again?
He shows the person, someone who makes a comment like that, he will show them a photo of his family and he will ask the question, so which one would you want me to get rid of? Which one?
I really like that. That's really awesome.
And you know what, Cyrus? That reminds me really of something that my daughter has said to me about this. Because, Tina and I had two children, a daughter and a son. We had a few miscarriages in there as well. But we had two children. So our daughter didn't grow up in a large family. And so this is new to her as well. And she has said to me before, she said, every time I learn that I'm pregnant, I immediately think, oh no, or what, or something, just a feeling of being startled. And then she said, but as soon as the child is born, I look at him or her and I think, how did I ever live without you?
Amen. And
that is what I think it's like, really. I look at my 11 grandchildren and I think, no, I can't imagine life without any one of them. So again, I want to throw out the question. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, though, on the other side, I've got another subject I want to bring up, but I just want to throw out the question. Any of you that have large families and you've dealt with this kind of situation, I would just love to hear your responses. How do you respond when someone challenges you on that? We'll be right back.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Our sponsor, Christendom College, offers our listeners free access to college-style principles classes at getprinciples.com. Sign up for free classes at getprinciples.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Beautiful music, Cyrus. Beautiful. I almost want to stop talking so the music can be heard. But listen, let me ask you a question quickly. Cyrus, would you consider this music you're playing? It sounds like bluegrass to me. Would you agree?
Is Elvis bluegrass? Yeah. I'd say that sounds right.
Bluegrass to me. Or polka. It sounds like German polka a little bit.
It's not German
polka. Okay, listen. All right. It looks like I've sparked some interest here. We're talking about the issue of large families, large Catholic families, and how do you respond when you run into someone who looks at you askance and lifts the eyebrow or maybe even makes a comment like, hey, are these all yours? Or comment I got one time was regarding my daughter's family, 11 grandchildren now, my daughter has 11 kids, was, is there any plan here? I mean, is there any plan going on or, basically the implication, or is this family just out of control? Anyway, we've got a couple of comments. Thomas already has commented by email, and he said, interesting thought, children are only unwanted in the hypothetical. Very good comment. Children are only unwanted in the hypothetical. Yeah, if you are just thinking about, 8 billion people in the world, maybe we shouldn't have any more kids or something, then children can be unwanted. But if you actually see the child, it's pretty difficult to say, yeah, this is the one that ought to go back, you know, from whence it came. Good comment. So I'm applying that to the person who said, I show the one who's made the comment, I show them a photo of my family, and I say, which one of these would you want me to take back or to send back? But we've got some more comments. We've got Peter calling in from Chicago, Illinois. Peter, you're on the show.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. The comment I wanted to make is I came from seven brothers and sisters, and, you know, when people ask me that kind of make that statement to me, you know, that's a pretty large family. It's not totally large, but,
yes.
You know, growing up, there was never a boring moment. You know, we always had something to do. And, you know, I mean, there was games we played. If I needed, I wasn't real. One sister was really good at art. And so if I had homework problems, you know, I had a mechanical drawing class or something, I really wasn't that good, you know.
Right.
She'd help me out. And then maybe being me good at math, I'd help her out, you know what I mean? But there was never a boring moment. We had our moments of fights and stuff like that. That's normal. But, there, you know what, the days, you know, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, yeah, we didn't get the best of everything. We learned how to share, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
when the good ice cream came by, you fend for yourself pretty quick. And that goes pretty quick. But there was never a boring moment.
And, you know what, Peter? I see that. I see that so clearly in my daughter and my son-in-law's family. Again, as I mentioned, they only live 5 minutes away. So my wife and I are very involved, and we're there a lot, and we see them all the time. And I've seen the same thing. They can have birthday parties without even inviting someone at times, you know? Like if they have a birthday party for one of the younger children, it's just the family, and yet it's a full-on party. And they do something, you know, Friday night, kind of game night or family night, where they will all be crowded around and they'll break out board games and be playing them. So I totally relate, Peter, to what you're saying.
Yeah, I loved it. And I have four kids myself. I wish I had more, but that's where I'm blessed with. I'm blessed with four, and I lost one or along the way, but that's life, you know. So, but yeah, there's nothing. It was great. It was great, and I had great parents, and that helps. The great parents are the best to bring it along.
Okay, Peter. Well, listen, thanks so much for calling in. Thank you. By the way, the number for those of you that would like to call is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show, Ken Hensley filling in. And I just want to comment on what Peter said, too, because I've seen all of that. He mentioned learning how to share. This is something that is just obvious from outer space, really. And another thing I would mention is what I notice in my 11 grandchildren is that they tend to become very outgoing and friendly and talkative because they're not just sitting alone, you know, playing video games or something like that. I had a gentleman come over one time to work on the computer or work on the internet at my house. And I remember he was in my office and he was checking out some things. And a couple of the grandkids were over, 4 years old, 5 years old. Well, they walked right into the room and they said, hi, worker man, what are you doing? And just struck up a conversation with him. And when they left the room, he looked at me and he said, what's with these kids? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, these kids are not normal. He said, normal kids are afraid when I go into the house. They kind of hide away. They have nothing to say. He goes, these guys are really weird to come right in and to strike up a conversation. And I hadn't thought anything of it because it was just so normal is what I see. They're talkative. They're outgoing. They're friendly. And, you know, possibly it's because having to fight to be heard, you know, with so many kids in the family, they learn how to speak up. But that's another blessing. And I guess we could expand this. When you call in, I would like to hear how do you respond to people who look at you askance or question the fact that you have a large family. But also would love to hear your perception of the blessings of having large families. Now, I know Patrick Madrid and he and his wife Nancy had 11 children themselves, so I'm sure he could have something to say about this. But I think he's probably deep in wrapping Christmas packages right now. Let's go to Yoli in Anaheim, California. Yoli, good to have you on the program. Yoli, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Yoli.
Going once.
Yoli.
Going twice.
Hey, there she is.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, Yoli.
Okay. Yeah, hello. Good morning. Sorry about that. I know this lady that has a large family, and when they asked her, you know, like they, you know, they get her money or something, she she'll say something like, yeah, these are all my blessings. You know, so tell them the truth. These are all my blessings. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the gift of life is a miracle and it is a blessing. So when I see people with large families, I say, wow, are these all your blessings? You know, how beautiful.
That's wonderful.
And then I always tell, yes, and I always tell them, well, thank you for doing God's holy will. And I myself had 10 siblings, five boys and five girls, sisters and brothers, and it was awesome. I didn't need a best friend. My best friends were at home.
So you were one of 11 as well.
Yeah, I loved it growing up. Like, there was a lot of sharing, never ever fighting. Actually, this never got spanked. My mom's discipline was, God's watching you. Mother Mary's can see you, or you're going to scare your guardian angel. So that we were brought up with a lot of love and respect, and God was, you know, the focus. I mean,
that is so good to hear.
Yes, the center of our lives.
That is
God bless
to hear.
You. Have a very Merry Christmas, and may your New Year's be very blessed.
Merry Christmas to you, Loli. Thanks so much for calling in. You know what? This number of 11 is just coming up. You know, Patrick and Nancy Madrid, they had 11 children. My daughter and her husband, Kirby, they have 11 children, at least at this point. And Yoli came from a family of 11 as well. And this idea of children being a blessing, I want to mention another family of 11 children in the town where we live. A gentleman passed away a couple of years ago, and he and his wife had 11 children. And when he was dying, I'm describing precisely what happened. When he was dying, they had brought a hospital bed home, and it was in the middle of the living room, and all 11 children had come home, and they were sleeping on the living room floor around his bed. He basically died with all 11 of his children there with him. Now, talk about blessing. You know, you never hear people, there's the old joke that no one ever says when they're lying on their deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Or, I wish I had spent more time counting my money. No one says anything like that.
I wish I would have watched more TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's some Netflix series that I missed. I can't believe it. I wish I had watched more series, you know, that I binge-watched more Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. No one says that. No one ever says that. Instead, they say, I wish I'd spent more time with the people I love. And everyone knows that their children are the greatest blessing in their life. I'm hearkening back to what Yoli just had to share. Everyone knows that the child that they have, their son, their daughter, is worth more than everything else that they have. That's an important point to keep in mind when you think, why are you having children or something like that? Let's go to Nick in Wisconsin. He's got something to say. Yes, Nick, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a father of 9 children, and when the family was growing and we would have 3 or 4 kids and my wife would be pregnant, people would ask, don't you know what causes that? And we'd tell them, yeah, snoring. And they'd look at us real puzzled, and I says, yeah, I snore, and it would wake my wife up, and so she would elbow me, and then I would wake up, and there we are, 2 adults in bed in the middle of the night. So that's why we had so many kids. And then later when the kids were older and people would ask me, how many kids do you have? And I'd say 9, and they'd look at me real puzzled, and I'd just say, I like birthday cake.
Nick, I have to admit, I've never heard that one, the one about snoring. I just haven't heard that one. I don't know. Anyway, do you have anything further you'd like to add to that?
Well, I liked the comment that I had my mother here living with us for a while, and when she would see families with 2 or 3 kids, her comment would always be, oh, that's a good start.
That's a good start.
So
you know, I do think
very much encouraged large families, too, because, well, I'm one of 9 children that she raised, so and it's been a blessing that I could not compare to anything else.
All right. Well, listen, Nick, thanks so much for being on the show. Your comments are great. And your comment reminds me of the one that my friend Wes gave, where if someone makes a joke at his kids or his family, he tries to make it lighthearted, he said, because that kind of breaks down the walls. And I think that's a really good idea. So he'll say something like, you know, if someone says, why do you have so many kids? He'll say something like, our rice paddies are not going to farm themselves. I like that. Hey, we've got this orchard, man. Someone's got to pick, you know, the oranges or the lemons. Or he'll say something like, yeah, and we're actually recruiting if you'd like to apply. So maybe you could say something like that too. So anyway, we're taking calls on the subject. How do you answer? Do you have a stock answer when someone makes fun of your large family or questions it implicitly, explicitly, something like that? But also, I'm loving just hearing the positive comments about the blessings of large families. Because I got to say that watching my daughter and son-in-law's family grow like this has just been such an enlightening experience to me. To see how these children are not lonely. To see how they can have a birthday party without even inviting anyone over. How they can have a family game night. How if there's a special show on, they can all be piled all over the couch with each other watching it. To see how they learn to share. It's not easy to share for little kids. But learning how to share with one another. To see how outgoing they become. The kind of kids that can open their mouths and share what's going on and say things and they're not cowed by adults and afraid of them running away. And there's so many more things that could be said. They're not the kind of kids that are going to be sitting playing video games for 4 hours straight because there's too much to do. So I love it. Let me take one more before we go to break. How about Jenny calling from Chicago, Illinois? Good to have you on the show, Jenny. You're up.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much. I am calling from the opposite end of the spectrum. I am an only child. And unfortunately, my parents were not able to have more than one. And I myself only have one. So, you know, I was very blessed with parents who had wonderful parenting skills and encouraged me and supported me and actually put me in many situations where I now, in my 60s, have lifelong friends that have taken me and kept me under their wing as if I'm a sibling. They also kept me very involved with my cousins. And cousins are very, very important, and friends are very important. But it's a myth out there that all only children are lonely and that all children, only children do not have those same opportunities. Sharing was a requirement in order to have friends. And friendships, when you're parented in the right way and you're guided away from any type of selfishness, or you're given overindulged in terms of attention. So I just want to put a plug in there for those parents that would like to have a large family but can't. And I was one of those. I had four miscarriages, and my mother had like two or three miscarriages and a tubal pregnancy. So I shouldn't be here. So sometimes it's not an option. But that being said, I would have loved to have had a family of 10 or 11, and I grew up next to a wonderful family of 10, and I was always considered the youngest of the youngest. So thank you for all that you're saying.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, what you're saying, Jenny, fits together with everything that's being said here, because your last comment was that you would love to have been raised in a family with more, meaning that children are a blessing, and having brothers and sisters is a blessing. But the point that you bring up that is so important is that, you know, sometimes people can't have children at all or can't have more than one or two. And there are ways to compensate, is what you're saying. There are ways to compensate. There are cousins. There are friendships. And I would never want to say that a child being raised alone or in a family with only two children is somehow massively deprived. There are ways of making up for the fact that they don't have more brothers and sisters. But the positive side is simply to say that children are a blessing from the Lord. This is the teaching of Scripture. And having brothers and sisters is a great blessing. And you've just said that yourself. Anything more, Jenny, you'd like to say?
No, you said it all. And, a large family is amazing. And I think whatever God sends us when we're just open to life and to more children is what we should embrace, and then bring in others. Yeah. Who can be part of our makeshift family when needed. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. So good to have you, Jenny, on the show. Thank you. Okay, listen, the number here is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. Ken Hensley sitting in. We're going to take a short break, but please don't go away. We've got Mary, Lisa, and Emily on the other side of the break that have comments to make on this subject. Talk to you soon.
The University of Mary, our sponsor, has a Christmas gift for you, but you'll have to wait for the Three Kings to arrive to hear about the special opportunity. A tuition-free nursing academy with applications closing January 31st.
Welcome, Christmas. Bring your cheer. Cheer to all who's far and near. Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp.
Real-life solutions you can believe in.
The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. This is Ken Hensley. I'm sitting in for Patrick while he takes a little time to wrap a million packages for his, I think, 28 or 35 grandchildren that he has now. I'm not sure. Cyrus, I do want to ask you, though, that music you're playing now, I'm just trying to get a grip on styles of music. This sounds like heavy metal. Would you agree?
No. I thought you had an ear for music. I thought you would call this, what did you call it, German polka?
Well, no, the first one you played sounded like German polka. This sounds like heavy metal to me.
And isn't German polka redundant?
This sounds like it might have come from Ozzy Osbourne, this music you're playing right there.
Okay, stop that. How dare you, sir? This is a Christmas classic. I've watched this for 40 years.
That's beautiful. That's from The Scrooge, right? Not The Scrooge. Oh, the what's his name?
The Grinch, man.
I thought it was Grinch. The Shrimp. I thought it was The Scrooge. I'm joking with you, Cyrus.
All right.
I'm joking
with
you.
You got me.
Okay, we're talking.
Hey, this reminded me of...
We're not talking.
Sorry, Ken.
Ahead.
I'm just going to step all over you.
No,
ahead. We were talking about this, and you had mentioned, you know, Patrick, and I was reminded, Patrick has said this many times. Back in the day when people would ask rude questions about, mm-hmm. you know, him and Nancy's 11 kids, mm-hmm. They'd say snarky things like, "Don't you know what causes that?" Or, "Don't you have a TV?" I don't know why I gave him accents. But he would say, yeah, I know what causes this. And if you prefer watching TV over what causes this, you've got a problem.
Patrick said that.
That is, I've heard him say that. Yeah, so I feel comfortable repeating that.
Yeah. By the way, when you put on an accent like that, I don't think you should put on a Scottish accent. You should try something different.
Oh, boy.
Okay, listen, again, number here is 888 if you'd like to be on the show, 888-914-9149 if you'd like to be on the Patrick Madrid Show. We've been talking about large families and the blessing of large families and the question, how do you respond when people look at you askance, when the eyebrows go up, or when some who are more on the bold side actually make a comment like, are these all yours? Or, is there any plan here? I mean, is anybody managing this situation? How do you respond? And you know what? I love the response that my daughter gave to me one time when she said, "Dad, every time I learn that I'm pregnant, my initial response is, oh my, like, what am I going to do?" sort of thing. But then she says, as soon as the baby is born, I look at her or him and I think, how did I ever live without you? And we have brand new identical twin girls in our family now that were born 7 months ago. And I can already say that. I don't know how the family has existed without these two beautiful little girls. And to watch the older kids all fighting to see who gets to carry them, who gets to carry them around, or who, when we're sitting in mass on Sunday morning, gets to hold them in their lap. It's just quite wonderful to watch. It's beyond words wonderful. But we've got a few more calls to get in. How about Mary calling from Dumont, New Jersey? How are you, Mary? You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm fine. I just wanted to say I'm one of seven, and I'll always be grateful to my parents for the sacrifices they made. And it was just so wonderful having so many siblings. And part of it is that you learned that you can't, we didn't have music lessons or dance lessons or all those things if we wanted them or have our college paid for. But we had built-in friends. And we also, you learn, I think, as part of a big family that there's a lot of imperfections and everybody has their faults. But because you're close to these people, you learn to get along with them. You learn to accept faults of other people, and you just learn to get along. But the other thing, too, is when we grow older, my parents had people to had us to help take care of them and to arrange their funerals, and we were all in it together. And so it's great to have people to mourn with and to do things with like that. And I, you know, feel grateful that I have my own children, and I don't know where I would be without them. But also, and we've lost siblings, and that tragedy just pulls people and families closer together. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'll always, always be grateful.
Mary, thanks so much for the comment. These are just, you know, every person that chimes in here on this question is adding another level of beauty, really, to the whole thing. Yeah, what you said about having one another in tough times too, being able to band together. I know my wife always says to me, she goes, you know, one thing is you're never going to be alone. I've got these 11 grandchildren now who love me. I love them. You know, they're going to be there. And, you know, I mean, I can, there's a possibility that they might all 11 just totally reject me and throw me out, but I don't see that happening. So that's a wonderful part of the whole thing too. Large family. It helps as you get older too, because you've got someone there. Mary, anything else you want to say about that?
I just wanted to say, I just thought of this. I do have friends who decided that they didn't want children. They wanted to have, quote, a good life, unquote. And when they hit their 40s, so many of them decided, oh no, I really do want children. I did want a family. And, you know, it's often too late. And I just feel bad for them. They've been kind of almost socialized to think that way by their professors and other people, you know, feminists. Oh, you don't want children. They'll slow you down. They'll ruin your life. And now they want them, and unfortunately, they'll grow old without them because they never had them. So,
Mary, thanks so much for your comments. Thanks for calling in today. Let's go to Lisa in Virginia. Hi, Lisa. You're on the program.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm one of nine, and I wanted to say that, you know, when my mother got pregnant with me, she thought that she was in menopause because I was later in life, and she went around for 6 months saying, I'm not pregnant. And my father's like, we got one more. And my father already made the decision that, you know, she's coming.
Really?
And my siblings were sitting around my mother, and they remember the story very clearly, and she was in prenatal, getting ready to see the doctor. And she said, well, I guess you're going to have a sister. And he looked at her and said, Mom, you're pregnant. My mother had always wanted to have lots of children, but she didn't realize how much work goes into having a large family. You know, she became one of 12. And all of a sudden she realized, what did I sign up for? So be careful what you ask God for, because you might get it.
you know, and the work.
Having a large family also taught me about giving, because at Christmas, I was a little one, so I was at the end of the nine, and they would pass me around from basket to basket because they wanted me to still believe in Santa Claus, right? And I would watch the joy at Christmas of my sibling, even my sister Zena, who was a little bit older than me, and she would gather her pennies all year long so she could buy something for each one of my siblings and my mom and dad. So I wanted to be a part of the fun one time, so I went ahead and I wrapped gifts to everybody and put them underneath the tree. And then my siblings opened them up, and they said, oh, Lisa, thank you for my shoes, or thank you for my mink coat. And it was my parents' stuff in their closet, because I didn't have anything else to give away, so I wrapped up my mom and dad's clothes and gave them away. And they made it seem like it was the best gift ever. But my parents were like, okay, give them back to us when we're done.
Well, see, Lisa, those are all wonderful memories that you have from being in a family like that. That's great. That's awesome. Well, listen, Lisa, thanks so much for calling in today. I've got so many people on the line here. Let's go to Ellen in Denver, Colorado. Ellen, you are on the
air. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, great. Well, we're cold here. We're hoping to get out of town because we have our 13th grandchild on the way, and we're going to go to Minnesota to hopefully be there for her. But we'll see. We'll see if it's meant to be or not. But
I think you're going to have snow skis to get to Minnesota. That's my understanding.
Yep.
You just ski right over the right over Lake Michigan and on up. Just ski right over it. Okay, so what's your comment, Ellen?
Well, you know, my husband and I had six kids, and there were always commentary when we'd be at grocery stores or office parties or whatnot. I mean, it was just it was just a given. And so I, my husband's from Ireland and has a very funny sense of humor. So if anybody's listened to this and they know my husband, they'll know that this was something he'd say. But people might say to him, well, you know, they can fix that. And he'd say, well, I guess it's not broken. Every one thing he'd say.
Yeah.
And then people might ask, are you guys finished? Surely you're finished. And and we just kind of say, well, we consider ourselves halfway. And they'd kind of, it just would usually shut them up and send them the other direction. My least favorite response that my husband would say, he would say, she got me at a weak moment and I was weak whenever she wanted. And that was my least favorite answer. But my husband and I have always made it a policy when we see young couples being open to children. And we come from a parish, or we participate in a parish, St. Mary's here in Littleton, where the 9:30 Mass, they call it the Catholic rainforest, because there are so many children, and the noise and the squeaks.
Catholic rainforest?
It's a brilliant term, or the Catholic Amazon, just because, you know, you don't go to that Mass if you don't like children, because it's
right.
Bursting with life, and it's such a gift. But one thing, the last thing I just wanted to say is it's just so important to be encouraging to young couples. I know a few who I would have said, you know, I don't ever regret having as many as we did. I only regret that we didn't have more. And especially with our 13th and 14th and 15th grandchildren here on the way, it's just been, you know, we just feel so rich. But my father, my parents were tremendously supportive. And my father used to say, you should be glad there's young couples having big families. Who's going to pay your Social Security? And so that's kind of the mindset that Brenda and I try to embrace, encouraging young couples to have them, you know.
Yeah, you know, we could approach him, Ellen, the entire financial side of this too, which I won't go into. But you know what? That's a point. When Social Security came into existence, you know, people were having more children and people were not living as long as they do now. And so that's a real question. My understanding is that in order for the economy of the U.S. to be actually growing, that people need to be having children, and we're not having enough children. So just from the lack of children, our economy is going to be shrinking over the years as the old baby boomers are dying off and people are not having as many children. So there's a whole financial side to this too. And then of course there's the financial issue of paying for things. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to have lots of children. But here's something interesting. I haven't noticed anyone who has called in today, you know, praising God's name for the large family in which they were grown. I mean, in which they were raised. I haven't heard any one of them complain about the fact that they didn't have enough money. They actually are happy about the fact that they wore hand-me-down clothes and that they couldn't have all the things they thought they wanted. Listen, Ellen, thanks so much for calling in today, and you have a Merry Christmas, okay?
God bless. And, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And let's go to, there's so many calls here. Let's go to Liz in Excelsior, Minnesota. You also are living in the ice caves of Minnesota, freezing. How are you doing, Liz?
It's great here, and thank you for taking my call. Yeah. First of all, we are all gifts from God. That's the most amazing thing. So we're all gifts, and my parents acknowledge that. And my dad would say that every time he had a kid, his business would grow. So he never had to worry about it, and he actually tried to send all of us to college if we were able to go. Because not everyone can go to college. I mean, or not go to – I mean, not everyone is – that
right.
type of a person to go to college. So we need very basic people. We need very like sent to the moon people. But at the same time, there's all of us in the middle doing nothing, right?
Basic people and sent to the moon people. Hey, listen, Liz, I'm up against a hard break, but listen, thanks so much for calling in. I thank you for your comment, which what I saw here was I'm the youngest of 13 and it's amazing. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I still have a lot of people holding online. So please stay online. I'll get to your calls. 888-914-9149. And now we get to listen to more polka music.